Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. First of all, I must say that was a really, really neat hymn. Those words are so powerful. As you can imagine, we're talking about Thomas today. And sometimes people say, I'll believe it when I see it. I'll believe it when I see it. Well, the other day I heard about something that was one of those moments. And bear with me, this is really weird, but it's true. So there was a couple that was doing a baby gender reveal, you know, where they tell the announce whether their baby's going to be a boy or a girl, and they surprise their friends and family, and they use like the color blue or the color pink to show what the baby is going to be. And this particular couple used an alligator, and the guy was an alligator trainer, and so he brought the alligator to the party, the gender reveal party, and this alligator is sitting there, and he's keeping it calm, and it's a nice alligator, it's a friendly alligator. So he's got the alligator over here, and then you see him take this watermelon, and what he did was he hollowed out the watermelon, and he put Jell-O in it of the color of the baby, either blue or pink, you know, the boy or girl. He took the watermelon filled with whatever color Jell-O it was, and he held it over the alligator. The alligator chomped down on the watermelon, and out came blue Jell-O to announce that they were having a baby boy. You're sitting there like, what in the world? Why do I tell this story? My point is, if I told you this, you might want to go on YouTube and see if you can find it to actually watch it for yourself, because sometimes when somebody tells you something, you say, well, I'll believe it when I see it. And you know you've had that happen before. April Fool's was just last week, and if you've got a jokester in the family, you check yourself very thoroughly, and you're a little bit skeptical that day. And if your child comes up and tells you something, you think, that just doesn't sound quite right. And I think we've all had that experience at one time or another. I'll believe it when I see it. And Thomas basically says something rather similar in today's lesson. Thomas wasn't there initially when Jesus appeared to the disciples. It says in John chapter 20, on the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord, but Thomas wasn't there. Jesus appeared. And you can imagine the shock and the horror of the disciples as they realized that Jesus is, in fact, no longer dead. And they had been in fear. They had been behind locked doors because of the fear of the Jews. But also, when Jesus appeared to them initially, if I were the disciples, I might be a bit afraid because I denied my Lord. And now he's standing before me risen, but Jesus says those words, "Peace be with you." But Thomas wasn't there. Jesus then showed himself. Says, "Look, see my hands and my side. Look." Basically, Jesus is saying, look, I'm not just a ghost. I'm a real physically resurrected person. But Thomas wasn't there. It says that the disciples were filled with joy. But Thomas wasn't there. Then later on, the disciples tell Thomas the good news, but he's a bit skeptical. John 20 continues and says, now Thomas, one of the 12 called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and place my finger into the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." This is where Thomas gets his reputation of doubting Thomas. Doubting Thomas, unbelieving Thomas. And I think sometimes Thomas gets a really bad reputation. But how would you and I react if we were in Thomas's shoes? After all, as we grow older and as we experience different things in life, we begin to be a bit skeptical, especially if you've experienced scams. I know some of you have experienced those phone calls or those emails that there's something presented to you that is basically too good to be true. I experienced that one time. I got this email. It looked rather official. And it said, "Congratulations, Pastor Dubke. We would like you to come to England and to lecture and to preach for us. And we're going to pay all your expenses plus a very generous stipend." And I was like, whoa, that's exciting. And then I looked into it more and realized I typed in some buzzwords on the internet to check. And lo and behold, there were a lot of other people that have received similar emails. And my brief initial excitement just turned to a bit of frustration and disillusionment. And you know how it goes with the scams that happen. After a while, you say, yeah, I'll believe it when I see it. And the thing is, you don't want to get your hopes up. Because sometimes something is presented to you that looks so good and so wonderful, and it may touch on something that you really want. And you don't want to get sucked into something and then be disappointed. You don't want to have your hopes dashed. And I think perhaps this is where Thomas is at. He's hearing this amazing message. We have seen the risen Lord. But Thomas doesn't want to get emotionally involved because he is mourning the loss of someone that has passed away. He has seen the horrific, he's heard the horrific story of Jesus' gruesome death on the cross. And you know how when you're mourning the loss of a loved one, when you've experienced a tragedy, you're trying to process through it and you want to get through it. And all of a sudden, Thomas hears this message. Well, no, we've seen the Lord. And I think he just didn't want to get sucked in. That's where he says in John 20, unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and place my finger into the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. He wanted to experience for his own self the resurrected Jesus. It's no accident that the story of Thomas is recorded for us in the scriptures. It's no accident at all. You know, it says that Thomas was a twin. Didymus means twin. And it's very possible that he literally had a twin. But perhaps there is a twin of Thomas who is sitting out there, or maybe up here in the pulpit at times. Maybe a little bit of skepticism comes into our life and we find ourselves in a similar place as Thomas. There are certain events that can happen in our lives that can leave us disillusioned, that can leave us in shock, where we had, growing up, this strong faith, and we really never doubted what we heard in Sunday school. We really went along with it, and then something comes along in our life, and we find ourselves doubting. We find ourselves wondering. We find ourselves questioning. And we see other people in the pews. We see other people around us, and we're assuming that they have so much joy at the resurrection of Jesus. They're so happy, and we're not feeling it. Easter morning or the week after Easter, everybody else seems joyful and happy when we sing our hymns, but you're not. Because you're wrestling with that doubt, that fear, that insecurity that you maybe didn't even expect to experience. There is something which is called the dark night of the soul that some Christians experience, where they begin to doubt and question everything when they feel like God is so distant from them. But if you're feeling that, if you've experienced that, you're not alone. There are other people who have experienced it as well. But I think it can be shocking, especially if we've grown up in a strong Christian household, and then all of a sudden we have this dip, we have this valley, and we never expected that we would go through something like that. It never occurred to us that we would be the ones who were doubting and scared and dealing with this unbelief. But you're not alone. And then there's sometimes in life where we just don't know where we're headed. We don't know where we're going. You feel like an airplane pilot or someone in an airplane, and all around you is just clouds and fog. You're in the middle of a cloud. You can't see to the right, to the left, and you don't know what's coming up next. And it can be a scary time. And you wish you could just know for sure. You wish that Jesus would appear, boom, right in front of you and hand you a piece of paper with the next thing that he's calling you to do. But we don't always have that, do we? And we might struggle. But I believe the Lord will give us what we need. He will provide for us what we need. And he did this for Thomas. Jesus didn't have to be so accommodating to Thomas, but he was. If you'll read in John 20, it says 8 days later, his disciples were inside again and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." And it must have been just an amazing thing for Thomas to have heard from the disciples and now to see with his own eyes. And if you've seen some of the paintings of Jesus and Thomas, you'll see this look of amazement on Thomas's face. There's a painting by an artist called Caravaggio. And in this picture, you see Thomas with this amazing look on his face. And Jesus is here, and Thomas is about 6 inches from Jesus, looking and staring at him and taking his finger and literally placing it in the wound with this amazed look on his face. It captures the awe and the amazement of Thomas as he's experiencing for himself the resurrected Jesus. Notice how Jesus responds to Thomas, how he deals with Thomas. He could have said, "Thomas, you're stupid. Come on, believe. Stop doubting." But you know what he says? He says, Thomas, place your finger here." Jesus knew what Thomas had said to the disciples 8 days before. Jesus welcomes him, invites him, say, "Here, touch. And see." And what does Thomas then respond with? As it says in John 20:28, Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus says these words to Thomas, which I believe are for Thomas and also for you and me. Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." I believe those words are for you and for me. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. And these next words were written for you and for me. John chapter 20, verse 30. It says, "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." Notice that was what our Alleluia response was. Hallelujah, these things are written so that you may believe. Those are the words. And what a great place to put them right before we hear the words of Scripture. That you may believe that Jesus is the Christ and that by believing you may have life in his name. With that message that indeed, for sure, Jesus is your crucified and risen Savior who has taken all your guilt, all your shame, all your punishment upon himself. And he's risen from the dead, giving you hope and life, even in the midst of difficult situations, even in the places of doubt, despite what your feelings tell you, it doesn't change the facts of the resurrection. But you may be a little skeptical still. You may want Jesus to appear, boom, right in front of you. Well, he could. But just because you see a fantastic sign doesn't mean you will believe. Just because you see a fantastic sign does not mean that you will believe. Case in point, we look around us and we see this absolutely fabulous, amazing creation. The amazing creation that is utterly mind-blowing. And yet there will be people that you will talk to that will say, "There is no God. This happened all by accident." And we would say, "How in the world could you say that? This is mind-blowing. An improbable planet. There's no way that this could have happened by accident." Yet people will say, "Nope, it did." You can have a sign or wonder that speaks to the awesomeness and power of God and his grace in your life, and you will not believe. You can choose not to believe. It says in the Scriptures, Jesus gives a parable in the Scriptures. It's the parable of Lazarus and the rich man. It's kind of a bizarre, weird parable, but long story short, there's this rich man who ends up in hell, apart from God, and there's this man named Lazarus who ends up with the Lord. And the rich man is in torment. He is struggling, and he is worried about his brothers. He cares about his brothers, and he speaks to the figure Abraham in the parable, and he says, "Well, just have Lazarus be sent to my brothers so that they can have a sign, right? So that they can believe." But it says in Luke chapter 16, Abraham said, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." And he said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead." How prophetic was that? Because then later on, Jesus rose from the dead, and there were still people that did not believe. We often say that seeing is believing. Yet when it comes to faith, it is not seeing that is believing, but rather that believing is seeing. That's Augustine. Believing is seeing. And this is a gift of the Holy Spirit, who gives you the eyes of faith to believe. The Holy Spirit gives you the eyes of faith to believe, and he does so through the amazing, awesome, powerful Word of God. It says in Romans chapter 10, "How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So, faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. As it says in Ephesians chapter 2, 8 and 9, for it is by grace you are saved through faith, this not of yourselves, not by works, so that no person may boast. The works, you are not saved by works, but you know what? Even faith itself is a gift. Not by works, so that no person may boast. And so we rejoice in the gift of faith, the eyes of faith, so that we might believe the word of God, which speaks of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. At the end of the day, what are you going to choose? Are you going to believe the scriptures, or are you going to believe your feelings? Are you going to believe the scriptures, or are you going to believe your feelings? When you're flying in an airplane, pilots have experienced this. In a dark night, or in the midst of heavy, heavy fog, sometimes a pilot can get turned upside down and yet not realize it. Their feelings will tell them that they are right side up. In the pitch black, they can say, nope, I really feel like I am right side up, even though their instrument panel tells them that they are upside down. And at that moment, they have a choice to make. Are they going to trust their feelings, or are they going to trust the instrument panel? And there have been pilots that have lost their lives because they have trusted their feelings instead of the instrument panel, and they've plunged to their death. So at the end of the day, are you going to trust your fickle feelings, which go up and down, depending on what you eat, how much sleep you get, depending on your mood and your hormones? Or are you going to trust the Word of God, which speaks to you of a risen Savior and an empty tomb, of your sins forgiven and life eternal? Are you going to trust those words that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sin? When you look in the mirror, what do you see? Your eyes, your blurry, fuzzy eyes in the morning will see someone who you may or may not like in the mirror. You may have your doubts about that person in the mirror that you see with your physical eyes. But given the eyes of faith, what do you see? You see a baptized child of God who is dearly beloved, who is forgiven, who is redeemed, who is valuable beyond your own, your understanding, who is more valuable than your parents or anybody else has ever said about you. Whatever other people have said about you, in the eyes of faith, you see a baptized child of God who is redeemed, who is forgiven, who is valuable and precious in the sight of the Lord. And what do you see when you come to the Lord's Supper? Your eyes may just see bread and wine, but the eyes of faith would see the risen Savior, his body and his blood given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Lord's Supper, sometimes called the Doubting Thomas Sacrament. The Doubting Thomas Sacrament. Why? Well, first of all, what's a sacrament? Remember, a sacrament is something that has God's word and God's promise with it and a visible element. And we have the promise of grace and the forgiveness of sins. The Doubting Thomas Sacrament, taste and see, touch. And so we get a tangible, tasteable grace from our Lord. As it says in that hymn, what is this bread? What is this bread? Christ's body risen from the dead. This bread we break, this life we take, was crushed to pay for our release. Oh, taste and see. the Lord is peace. What is this wine? The blood of Jesus shed for mine. The cup of grace brings his embrace of life and love until I sing, oh, taste and see, the Lord is king. Yet is God here? Oh, yes, by word and promise clear, in mouth and soul, he makes us whole. Christ truly present in this meal. Oh, taste and see, the Lord is real. And as you go forward this day, you're going to have questions and doubts. Sure, it happens. But you can go forward with the eyes of faith, living the resurrection life just as Thomas did. Thomas, he had his doubts and questions, but he then went on to go and proclaim the empty tomb, to proclaim the risen Christ. And we don't know a lot about what happened in his life, but according to legend, we see that Thomas went to different countries sharing boldly the gospel and eventually giving his life for that message. And as you go forward this week, may you go forward with the eyes of faith, knowing that your risen Savior goes before you, leading the way. May you go with confidence that your sins are forgiven, that your Savior is risen, that you are a dearly beloved, precious child of God, with the eyes of faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. No gracious words we hear from him who spoke as none e'er spoke, but we believe him near. Help then, O Lord, our unbelief, and may our faith abound, to call on you when you are near and seek where you are found. Lord, when our life of faith is done in realms of clearer light, we may behold you as you are with full and endless sight. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard, guide, and keep your hearts and minds in the one true faith until life everlasting. Amen.